This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 66. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we're very grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Just want to point out real quick, we have a brand new YouTube channel. It's easy to find. Just go to YouTube and type in Rock on the Money. And we are posting segments from the podcast in video form. So we're posting them individually based on questions. So hopefully if you have a question on like real estate or 401ks or IRAs and you just find it that way. Quick little 3 to 5 minute videos, Amanda. So
that's about the normal attention span. Yeah.
Yes. And that's without me rambling. So it seems to be working well.
Okay.
So what we got on this episode?
Well, today we have social media questions, a number of them. We've got a short topic. We're going to revisit the baby steps. Today we'll be talking about baby step number one, the initial starter emergency fund. And then our savvy savings segment today is on food scraps and how they deserve a second shot.
Really? Food scraps?
Yep, yep.
I heard what was the average person has gained 17 pounds during COVID.
Whoa.
I heard that stat. I think it was on CNBC. Someone mentioned it. I don't know what the reference is, but I'm like, wow, you can only do so much sitting in your house. So,
yeah.
Hey, we have a podcast review from Apple Podcast. And this one's from PC Cross. And it says, love this podcast. My husband is currently a firefighter in the Washington, D.C. area. Came across your Facebook page and introduced me to your podcast. I'm a huge Dave Ramsey follower and really loving your investment advice. Want to get away from mutual fund fees, gear towards low fee accounts where we can maximize our growth. Thank you both. Looking forward to more episodes and information. What do you think of that?
I think that's great.
It didn't mention your savvy savings, so I apologize.
That's okay.
We weren't singled out. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, go to rockonthemoney.com for all the links for our podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher. And look, most people don't actually use those. They just download their favorite podcast app. You just go into the app, search Rock on the Money, comes right up. And here's something else. I think you do this, Amanda. You have Alexa devices in your house.
I do now, yeah.
If you just go up to your Alexa device, your Google Home, and I'm not going to say the command because someone, I even think about this, someone sent me a message saying, can you stop saying mm-mm or hey, you know what? Because it sets off everything in their house. So we need to come up with a code. But anyway, if you go up to that device, give it that command of hey or whatever, and then just say, play the latest episode of Rock on the Money, it works. You don't have to do any subscriptions. We prefer you subscribe. Yeah, that way you're notified, but it works out great. Hey, I got a question that was very popular in our Facebook group.
It was, yes.
Yes. I figured we might as well tackle this one immediately. I am purchasing a new bed and mattress. We have the money saved for the purchase, but have the opportunity. Yeah, that's awesome. But we have the opportunity to finance at 0% interest over 48 months. No hidden fees. I'm not done. No hidden fees other than we miss a payment. They're going to start charging interest. If I take that money saved, $5,000, I guess it's $5,000 for the bed mattress. I think I missed that before. And put that into a CD at 1.2%, then my return is roughly $60 a year over the life of the financing. So it would net me $240. I am displaced enough to leave the money in a CD and rolled over every year. In fact, the money saved is from a CD that just matured. While I know the adage is not to borrow in case where in a case where the money lent is at 0%, would it be better off in long term of what I just described?
Yeah. So first of all, they're buying a $5,000 bed, which if you can afford it outright and everything else is taken care of and you're, you know, through your baby steps, then good for you. It does seem like a luxurious purchase.
Well, I brought that up because, you know, I'm the big Consumer Reports guy. Mm-hmm. And I've already looked at this. My mattress, look, I just want to go over this. The mattress I have is not based on Consumer Reports, but it took away all my back pain that I got from our previous careers. It only cost me $600. It's one of those memory foam. Yep. All of them are pretty very similar. So
yeah, I have a great memory foam. It was like $600 or $700.
And it has a 20-year warranty on it. And I think I'm 10 years in. I still don't have to replace it. It was $600. Now, I'm not saying you have to pay $600, but let's say you want to get, what's that other one? Casper. Mm-hmm. Casper's like $900 or $1,000. So, I mean, all these newer mattresses, like Purple apparently is kicking butt, by the way, in the stock market. You know, Purple is a whole different thing. It's based on technology. Anyway, if you look at Consumer Reports, a lot of the best rated ones are only $800. So, but they were set on this. So we did ask them that. They are set on this. They don't care. They just want to know if this approach is the correct one.
So they want to pay for a mattress for 4 years, longer than you should be making car payments for.
In order to make $240 over 4 years.
To make $240 over 4 years, which with the cost of inflation, 1.2% doesn't even keep up with that. This is like illogical in 1,000 different ways.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways we can get with it. I mean, I appreciate the trying to think this out, but 1.2%, you're right. The average inflation is 1 to 4%. We always average at like 2 when we do calculations and coaching. You're not even keeping up with inflation. I would rather, like, you can't come into our group or email us and expect us to approve you financing anything but a house. That's just not going to happen. We so try to get people on debt.
$5,000. So. They're talking about $104 and change every month. You're telling me that if you paid cash up front now, you wouldn't be able to put $104 somewhere else and make a better return off of it every month. I would dispute that all day, every day.
So the whole point of us not having any payments, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things with 0%. We've talked about that before. That deserves a whole nother segment. But the whole point about not having money going out is we'd rather have that money going into some investment that's making 8 to 12%.
Yeah. So there's a couple other dangers here. One, just because everything's stable and you think everything's great right now doesn't mean that it's going to continue to be so. I mean, look at this pandemic here. People who thought that they had stable jobs and were working places for 20 plus years suddenly, you know, are laid off. Is that something you want hanging over your head when you have no income coming in? Is $105 extra payment every month for the next 4 years? I mean, your mattress life is only 8 years. You're going to finance it for half of the life. This is right up there for me with financing your underwear. I mean, I think this is the mentality of poor people. You know, financing financing mattresses, financing your underwear.
You just brought up another point I didn't think about is, if a pandemic comes along, which no one ever thought this would ever happen.
No.
And now you have a payment you still got to knock out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like having payments of anything.
And if your money's tied up in a CD, you get a penalty for early withdrawal. So there goes your $240 you thought you were making.
I mean, 1.2%. You and I, we're making like 30, 40% a year.
1.2%. Well, that math doesn't seem like it adds up to $240.
No. And remember, you have 48 payments. If you're late on one time, the typical interest rate, I think we did in that last segment, was 27%. Using Best Buy as the example, I think is what we were doing. But a lot of times it goes to a super, they're banking you're going to miss one payment or be late once. That's
all
what they're banking on.
You have to be late one time by one day and your interest rate skyrockets. Oh yeah, so it's $60 a year is what this person believes she's making. Mm-hmm.
I just, here's the thing I run to with coaching. People are trying to game the system. They make this much more complicated than it needs to be. And that's why people get confused. Saving, investing, and protecting all your money, which is our mantra, is much simpler. It's so easy to become a millionaire. But we've made this so complicated by trying to make $240 over 4 years.
And a year from now, you're going to be super annoyed that you have this $105 payment line item in your budget. And this is just poor people mentality. And I know I saw a whole bunch of arguments about opportunity costs, and your arguments are only rationalizations to continue to live in a life of, you know, revolving debt.
And this has nothing to do with me being a Dave Ramsey coach. Okay. This has a lot to do with, why are you even having any debt? Yeah. If you go back
there's
and
no
look,
way I would finance a mattress.
No. And if you look at,
I would buy one off of Facebook and sleep on someone's used mattress before I financed one.
Really?
And I can afford a mattress.
Would you actually do that?
Yeah, I absolutely would.
If you do, there was a study done of 10,000 millionaires that Chris Hogan did, right? They said no one made that million from financing 0% or points from a credit card. I'm not against credit cards, okay? Yeah. I'm against debt. I have a credit card. You have a credit card. People are attacking us about that. I'm not about that. But I don't gauge my life around trying to earn points. I just don't worry about that. If it happens, it happens. Like, I have a Costco one. That's my membership card.
Yeah.
And somehow I end up with like $500 at the end of the year because I just shop at Costco and they only take the Visa or cash. I don't like carrying cash. That's just me. I hate it.
I carry cash because that's how I spend my allowance. Yep.
We have to bring that back up again. No one's heard that episode before. That was like months ago. But anyway, I just do everything electronically because I don't buy hardly anything. It's rare. I just don't carry debt is what the point of all this is. So to get 1.2%. Over 4 years to get $240, that just seems like breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
It seems like we're really trying to do a whole lot of work for not a lot of return. I don't think the risk reward is there. That's just my opinion. I'm not trying to beat up on the person. I just don't. And I don't want anyone else to follow that. I think that's the bigger thing. When people post in our Facebook group.
I was concerned with how many people who were defending this logic. It's like a little frustrating. Like, why are we here if no one...
And I had to lock down the comments because I'm like, now we're going to ruin... We're getting all these people that don't understand that we're trying to coach. They're seeing this. They're like, oh, I need to go do that. I'm like, no. Keep this simple, people. It's not that complicated. This is all not right, how I become a millionaire. Anyway, we'll move on.
I think we beat that dead horse enough here. Social media question two. On your July 7th episode, I was listening and taking notes. Oh, what a good student. There was talk of Dave Ramsey's four funds and avoiding target date funds. Amanda, that's me, asked Craig if he was planning on putting his and Dave's methods in a visual tool in the show notes.
All right. So let's just briefly go over what Dave Ramsey's investment strategy is. So he likes to do four types of mutual funds. And I guess he has an investor network that he uses, and this is what he has them do. So he likes growth and income, aggressive growth, and international mutual funds as part of your 401k, your IRA, 25% each bucket. That's it. That's his plan. I have nothing against Dave on this. I just have not agreed with this since day one. I've been doing a whole different strategy for years. Now, doesn't mean I haven't done that in the past, but once I learned everything, I stick with large cap growth stock mutual funds only in America, nothing with bonds in it, nothing international. And that's what I do. And my returns have since then to the moon. I mean, I'm kicking butt. And that's just not in the last year or two. I'm talking about the last since 2008. I'm doing great. So that's what I do. And here's the other problem with, well, it's not a problem with Dave's, but if you have a 401k at your workplace, you can't find those four buckets at that 401k. They're not going to have the growth and income, aggressive growth, or it's not labeled. And most people, number one, they don't even know what a target date fund, let alone how are they supposed to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we do. And this is what's been working great for me. I've created my own tools. I use artificial intelligence. I've done programming. I've made these smart spreadsheets that sit on the cloud. They use Google, all kinds of crazy things. I chart out every fund within a 401k. I've done this for multiple people. I look for the S&P 500 index. I highlight that. Then I find all of the other large cap growth stock mutual funds. And if you go to your workplace, they're listed, what is they, like large cap, usually it's a typical name, or growth is what I'll say. Nothing with international. And then I chart them all out and I compare it to the S&P 500 index. If it beats the S&P 500 index, short, medium, and long, has to be consistent, whether there's a terrorist attack or a pandemic or anything or an election, as long as it's consistent, I'm in that. I'm on. I'm going for it. And that has worked for me. Then I keep an eye on it, you know, check on it every now and then, just make sure. But I figure if you're already in one that's already done well since the 90s or the 2000s on through, chances are it's going to probably do well moving forward as well. And I'm kicking butt. I'm way above the S&P 500 average consistently, long term. It really is that simple, Amanda.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that strategy that I push?
No, keep it simple.
I don't have to pay some guy 1-4% to do that. And I do plan on making that video for YouTube on our YouTube channel of how you can simply go to Yahoo Finance, which is an easy website, do this. You pick your fund, you put your funds in there, if you have a little code in there, and compare it to the S&P 500, just look at the graph. You click on 5-year, 3-year, 1-year, and just look at it. Does it beat? Good. And personally, I don't care about expense fees either. Expense ratios. If you can beat it and make me money, I'll pay you all day long. I don't care. I'll pay 1%.
Yeah.
I don't get hung up on that stuff, but you got to earn it. I hope I didn't drag that out, but it's very important and very simple. So
it is simple.
It's all about making money. Indexes always go up.
Question 3. Can you do a little math for me? Mm-mm. What would a $50,000 investment in the S&P index today be worth in 35 years? Oh, so this is a good tag on to the last question.
Well, tell you what. Hold on a second. Let me figure this out.
Well, so it's an estimate. Past performance is not a guarantee of future performance.
Right. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to figure this out. Okay. 35 years. So I have a whiteboard I'm doing for YouTube, but I'll talk it out. Remember we talked about the rule of 72s? And yes, we could go to NerdWallet and do a simple calculator, but I just wanted to do, if we had $50,000, okay, put in the S&P index, like they said, 35 years, what would it be worth? So I'm going to go lowball. We always say it's 8 to 10% for the S&P 500. The rule of 72 states, if you take the return of the mutual fund or investment divided into 72, that's how many years it takes to double your money. It's pretty simple, okay? So 35 years, right? So we'll do every 8 years. So I'm going to go low. I'm not going high. I'm going to make this fair. So it's zero. It is 50,000, right? So then after 8 years, 16, 24, 32. I can go to 32 or should we go 40? We'll do both, 40, okay? So we're just going to double the money over time, see what happens. So at year 8, we have $100,000. Year 16, we have $200,000. See how I'm doing that?
Yep.
Year 24, we now have $400,000. This is so simple, guys. At year 32, Amanda, $800,000. Yeah, started with was $50,000 and doubled it every year. Long term. By the way, people.
Right, right.
You should get a little bit more than this, but we're going low.
If we went, be close to $1 million at 35 years.
Right. So if we went, you'd hit $1 million. But if we just wait 5 more years, $1.6 million. Look at that.
Yeah.
That's how simple it is, guys. Now, remember, you can't touch it. That's what happens.
Yeah, people don't start be pulling it out just because the CARES Act has some rule where you can withdraw and then pay it back within 3 years.
That's how simple it is, guys. But and then you wonder why we get so upset when people start touching their 401k. And we've done samples that same rule 72. If we remove money, and later on in life, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars because you took out one thing to buy a car, one car. It is unbelievable. And so that may deserve a separate YouTube video, but does that all make sense, Amanda?
Makes sense to
Pretty
me.
Simple. All right. Question four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 19. Oh, I remember this guy.
Yeah.
You are raving. This is all for you. I'm 19. I have a Roth through Vanguard. I have bought VTSAX, which, Amanda, that's the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, for $3,000. And also, I'm currently have 6 shares of VOO, V-O-O, which, everybody, that's the Vanguard 500 Index Fund ETF. The golden plan is I don't want to touch this money until I'm 59 and a half. There, see, why are the 19-year-olds smarter?
Yeah,
well,
I don't know.
He's only 19. He'll be tempted later. I'm also pretty
Maybe
young.
He has a smart mom because my 19-year-old also has a Roth set up.
What happened? You asked your son how much money he had in there and what did he say?
No. Oh, he said, I don't look at it every day. Yeah.
You told me not to look at it.
Yeah, he said, you told me not to look at it.
I'm also pretty young, so I'm learning as I go. Do you guys have any other recommendations of stocks? As always, the plan is to buy and hold them for long term. Thank you, Advance, for any help. I'm giving this to you, Amanda. This is your boy.
Yeah, this guy. Well, it's not literally my boy.
I know.
Just so we. This is someone other than my son, I guess is what I mean. So this guy is a rock star. I would definitely keep what you're doing right now. You're doing everything exactly right by investing in the Vanguard S&P 500, which is the VOO. That's an electronic. Traded fund in ETF. If you want to practice trading single stocks, then we definitely recommend using the Webull app, W-E-B-U-L-L, for paper trading. And paper trading is where you can practice trading with fake money. It's not your real money, so none of your own money is at risk, but you get used to the, you know, the cadence of investing and trading through fake trades. If you do that, please consider using our affiliate link when you sign up, as it helps offset our cost for the podcast.
And you get free stocks as well.
Oh, the person signing up. Yes. You, as the person signing up, you receive free stocks.
We both get a stock. So, but it helps fund our show. So it's one of the ways that it's like anybody else generating content. We have the little affiliates and we try and, but we only allow affiliates that we believe in and that we use. I personally use Webull. So, And your husband does.
Yeah.
He has it. So that's awesome. And we are getting more younger people that are getting interested in investing. And I love that. I love that. They could easily be millionaires. Stay away from temptation. All right. Here's a question about a mortgage.
Okay.
Ms. Real Estate Guru. Something I've been wondering out, should we refinance or just pay extra on our mortgage? We have 27 years left on the current rate of 4.3%. Any advice? Thanks you in advance.
Well, once again, we don't quite have the full facts here, but I'll give some generalities. With 27 years left, it probably, generally speaking, makes sense to refinance since rates are so much lower right now. But that's all going to depend on how much longer you plan to stay in that house, because it will take you a couple of years to recover the cost of refinancing. If you're going to be there long term and you plan to be there for the next 27 years, then I think it's a no-brainer. I would refinance immediately.
The date we're recording this, new home loans average, I believe, is 2.3, and refinance is about 3 to 3.1, which is just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to save more than 1%, then it's worth looking into.
Yeah. So that gets them down over 1%, and that's no points with a credit union.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I checked
Definitely don't pay points. And if, as long as you're refinancing, now's the time to go switch it from 27 years down to 15 years.
Yes, absolutely. One more question before the break, or before the topic. So I have a question about our 401ks heading into the upcoming election. Is it best to leave everything where it sits, 70% mutual funds in stocks, 28% in bonds, and a little bit of money in the market? I'm a little nervous about the possibility of Biden being elected and that effect on the market. Your thoughts? Can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
Typically, just so everyone knows, especially in our group or whatever, we typically do not allow religion, politics, or anything get involved with our investing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
However, I do understand why people are talking about this upcoming election and their money. There has been a lot of chatter about it. I've heard study after study. Some of them conflict with each other about what happens in every election.
Yeah.
I know I personally, I let this get in my head every now and then for every election, the last three that I've really been involved with my investing. And you know what happened at the end of every single one? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to say. Happened. Everyone gets their panties in a bundle and then nothing happens. Or it might happen for a day or two or a week after and then things recover and everyone goes back to normal. And long term, because that's what you're really aiming for, is a long term investment. None of that's going to matter. So a couple of things I pick up here, though, depending on the age of this individual, this seems like a very high mix of bonds.
Yes.
28%. I mean, unless you are actively in retirement right now, you shouldn't have that. I mean, in my opinion, you shouldn't have any bonds in your mix unless you're actively in retirement or close to retirement. And then I would go, and my bond mix would be dependent on a target date fund.
Yes.
There.
And I did do some quick research. That's almost equal to them retiring in the next 10, 15 years.
Oh, okay.
So for that mix, because you're getting close to the 60-40, which is full retirement. So I'm like, ugh. There is one other thing that, because Biden's been open about this, is raising taxes, especially on capital gains, stuff like that. So if you were thinking about rolling your money over into a Roth, converting it, I'm sorry, wrong terminology, converting your traditional money to Roth, now would be the time to start considering that. It would take a while for them to get the process going to make the changes on tax rates, but start thinking about that. Talk to your tax professionals and see what it would take to convert that. That way you're locking in to today's rates. Because Amanda, we've been talking about this for a while, that tax rates are going to go up. It has to.
Over the next few years, one way, no matter who's president, they're going to go up between now and a decade from
now. The debt has skyrocketed, and you all know we've been printing money. We just make money show up. And that's
apparently
not political.
Apparently, we haven't been making coins, though. There is a coin shortage. Yes.
So as far as Biden, I'm not going left or right on this, guys. I'm just telling you the facts as we know, because Biden has been open about his plan about being pro-American, very similar to Trump. But there is a talk, strong talk about raising taxes. In the financial world, people are thinking about that already, and they're starting to strategize with taxes. That is something that you should consider right now. But as far as worrying
about, it's going to have a lot more to do with than just the president. It's going to, get out there and vote. It has a lot to do with your representatives, your senators, not just the president.
Right. And as far as someone getting elected and the whole stock market going down long term, it doesn't. Go back and look at the studies. All the studies I've been hearing doesn't do it.
It's not going to go down any worse than it did for a pandemic.
There you go. That's the worst. When we thought it couldn't get worse in 2008, I give you coronavirus. All right. So let's go over a topic today.
Yeah.
Amanda, I talked to Amanda and I said, I would like to revisit the baby steps. And that way we have it in video form. And
I love it because now it means I can revisit some of my savvy saving segments and recycle the material as well.
Well, a lot of the things that we've said 6 months ago or more, we need to update them because things have changed a lot. So that's, I think, true. That's kind of a great idea. So the baby steps that we go through, and I'm a Dave Ramsey certified master financial coach. So that's where this comes from. So let's just go over the 7 baby steps. And the reason why we use this, guys, is as I coach people to get them out of debt, come up with a plan. Look, I know there's a ton of different plans out there. Everybody's got their own widget, whatever. This one does work. We can argue it all day long. It has nothing to do with your credit cards, your point systems, or anything like that. This gives people a step-by-step path to get out of debt and actually have a future. There's many variations, but this does work, Amanda. I mean, I'm not going to argue over 15% here or paying off mortgage earlier or whatever. It's a good roadmap for people. So here's the 7 baby steps real quick. Save $1,000 for a starter emergency fund. Baby step two is you're paying off all your consumer debt, everything but the mortgage, Amanda. Baby step three, we're going to fully fund your emergency fund, 3 to 6 months of your expenses, your household expenses. Baby step four is invest 15% of your household income. That's if you have a spouse, everybody, into retirement funds. Number five, which that's where we kind of differ a little bit, Amanda, I think with Dave and stuff, but we don't want to make this priority, but it's there. Save for college funding for your children. But we don't put that over top of retirement. Retirement's always the priority. In baby step six, pay off the mortgage early. And baby step seven, Amanda.
Yes.
Build up your wealth and give back generously. So today we're just going to talk
about... Can I just one little small time
Absolutely.
Out. So when you said pay off debt using the debt snowball, I didn't hear any qualifications in there about it, whether or not the debt is 0%.
No, it's debt. Debt, like I put in that comment, debt is still debt. You're still making payments. We don't want any debt. We want to take all available extra income and put it towards investing. That's how you become a millionaire.
All right. Anyway. Didn't mean to sidetrack you. Go on with your $1,000 emergency.
Oh, let me take a breath here. You got me going there. Almost got in a soapbox. I need one of those sound effects. Soapbox alert.
What is, is that like bubbles from a bathtub or something? The soap?
Ooh, that's a good idea. Okay. So here are some four easy steps to building up your $1,000 emergency fund. Number one, you need a place to put it, Amanda. So we need a savings account. Somewhere. And a lot of people already have savings accounts somewhere. If you're a bank, online bank, we like Ally. What do you have, Marcus?
Marcus by Goldman Sachs.
Does Marcus allow you to make side accounts like buckets? I know Ally started that.
Well, they started, but ultimately you're just creating new accounts.
Right. So anyway, we want
any bank is going to let you create more accounts.
Right. We want to designate something as emergency fund. So we want to put it in there. Okay. In this, we're also going to turn this into a fully funded emergency fund in baby step three. So this will be used later on. This is a fund we do not touch.
That's Amanda. Right. So let me say something extra here. I learned something in the last week.
Cool.
I have a number of family members who are working on their baby steps right now, and they've all crossed the threshold of step one.
Yes.
But I have one sister who asked me, like, where should I put that money? And I gave the same advice we always do about these online high yield savings accounts. And she asked me what the percent interest rate is. And I said, well, right now my Marcus is at about 1.05%, which is market rate for these online banks. Mm-hmm. She said, well, my credit union is giving me like 2.9% on my checking account.
Whoa.
Dividends. I'm like, how is that possible? That can't be right. Like, I didn't believe it. So I went on their website and checked, and sure enough, they do have that. So I do want to now adjust my advice based on new information.
I love that.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. So, you know, we've talked about credit unions before, but this might also be a great thing for you to check. I mean, obviously, they have different rules that might go along with these types of checking accounts. I didn't dive into all the details there, but, you know, talk to your local credit union, see if they can beat these online banks. They want your money too. Mm-hmm. I thought that was awesome that they more than doubled the online rate. And I don't mind if it's sitting in a separate checking account, as long as you put that checkbook out of reach or like, you know, behind in a safe somewhere and you don't actually touch it. The other thing I will say though, especially on $1,000, 1% interest rate difference isn't going to add up to a whole lot.
No.
So, you know, also weigh the convenience factor and, you know, what's involved in opening and maintaining and all that hoop jumping through for 1%.
All right. So step number two, once we have a place to put the money, we need to create a spending plan. This is kind of like up your alley. You're the budget queen here.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is another word for budget.
Yeah, budget. So we want to add up all of the money we have sitting around in various accounts. How much do we have? Because you may already have $1,000. And if that's the case, we put that money in there, and then we're going to move on to baby step two.
Yeah, like check your PayPal account. Do you have money just sitting in there?
I have all my eBay money still sitting over there in PayPal.
Yep.
It's like $2,200 just sitting there.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I know. I need to move it. So then we need to add up all of your monthly minimum payments on consumer debt, your utilities, your gas, but that's going to require some work, Amanda. You're going to have to get out all of your credit card statements, your bank statements, and figure out where does your money go?
Well, where has it gone? But more importantly, give it a job moving forward. Every dollar should have a designated destination moving forward.
Yes. And there are a bunch of apps you can use, like Mint, Every Dollar. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other ones you've talked about?
Well, Mint is the one that I usually talk about because they have a great version that's absolutely free. The Every Dollar one, the free version, doesn't quite live up to it.
Great.
And I'm all about free.
And then, of course, we need to figure out how much income do we have coming every month. And then we're going to subtract the two. Hopefully, Amanda, the goal is we have more money coming in than going out.
Yeah.
Because we need to fund that account with $1,000. If you don't, we need to go back and look at what we're spending money on. And then we're going to get into that in baby step two a little bit more. Right now, we just got to get $1,000 going here. So do we have too many streaming services? Are the kids spending too much money on Fortnite or streamers or on Twitch? I mean, I guarantee you can figure out where you're wasting money and change this really quick. So once you do all that, then we're going to fund it and get that up to $1,000. Then we go on to baby step two. Now, if you make less than $25,000 a year, Amanda, we don't want to do $1,000. We're talking about $500 for your initial emergency fund. You don't need $1,000.
Okay. Well, you might need $1,000, but let's be realistic. Right now, coming up with $500 should be your first goal.
Yeah. And there's still 30 million people that don't have a job as of when we're recording this. So
yes.
They
and
couldn't
the
only
majority,
be...
The majority of Americans can't even cover a $500 emergency without taking on more debt. So
believe it or not, people that are watching this or listening, it's actually very difficult for many people to come up with $1,000. So this is a tough one. But once we get this in, this is your protection before you get into baby step two, where we're going to start paying off our debt. And that's probably the hardest, the most difficult thing to do. Is get through baby step two. That can take a couple of years to knock out. So once you come up with this plan of how we're going to get the $1,000 in there, we need to stick to it and don't touch that money. Going to a movie theater. Well, I guess you can't really do that right now, can you?
No.
But you don't want to spend this money. You're not supposed to be going out to the restaurants anymore. Not even doing curbside pickup. None of that. Cut all that out. Unless it's a true emergency. What would be a true emergency, Amanda?
Your car becomes inoperable.
There you go. That would be a true emergency. Your air conditioner broke. It's summertime. It's not, I need to go to Ocean City, Maryland this weekend. I'm just going to use that money. That's not an emergency.
Yeah.
And of course, one nice thing to do, Amanda, which I think you'll agree with, is we're going to use cash. Don't use your credit cards. Because what will happen is if you use your credit cards, you're going to overspend. We want the brain to activate by using cash, right?
Yeah. So cut those credit cards up. You're not going to dig out of your credit card hole if you keep filling. If someone else is filling a, you know, shovel full of dirt into the same hole you're trying to dig out of, you're never going to get out of the hole. So I have a couple of comments here.
Sure.
Craig, I did notice that Susie Orman this week gave some advice that I vehemently disagree with. Ooh. I wanted to raise that because normally she and I are on the same page.
Yeah. No, you're a fan.
Yeah, I am a fan. Yeah, I even recommend some of her books here. But so obviously we're in a, I'm going to use the cliche word, unprecedented times here. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people, like the jobs report came out. There's a lot more people unemployed now than anyone could have expected at the beginning of this year. A lot of jobs are not coming back, or you can't count on them coming back. So you have to plan accordingly. This emergency fund and the 3 to 6 months of emergency fund that you're going to do in baby step three are there to get you through that tough time. So remember, we've been saying stash your cash all along, like pause your debt snowball, just continue to pile up cash.
Right.
She's now suggesting stop all of the debt payments except the minimum payments, same as us. Okay. But her difference is she's saying charge everything on credit card.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I feel awful about that. That's like trying to get out of a hole, and or try your boat is sinking with a giant gaping hole and you have a solo cup to try and empty it out. So, you know, only in the most dire of circumstances should you be using credit. The better solution is to take a look at your expenses and tackle those and cut down to a minimalist expenses.
The people that we coach, the reason why we're against the credit cards for the people that we coach, we're trying to break that behavioral cycle.
Yeah, it's a psychological way of thinking.
Financial literacy is 80% psychological, behavioral. It's only 20% mechanical. Mm-hmm. We're trying to change the mindset, and people are attacking us over that. And, you know, what we're saying probably doesn't work for you. We're trying to get other people. There's 70% of people are so far in the debt, they can't fund a $1,000 emergency fund right now.
Right.
That's what we're trying to take care of. So,
All right. Well, I said my piece. How about a break?
We'll take a break and we come back with Savvy Savings. What we got today on Savvy Savings?
Your food scraps deserve a second shot.
I never have food scraps. I eat them all up. All right. We'll be back. We'll be right after this. You're listening to the Rock on the Money podcast.
Podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified, licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money. I'd like to remind you, we have a brand new YouTube channel. You can check us out. Just search down Rock on the Money. The familiar blue and bright lime green logo is right there. And we have segments of all the common questions out there that we can now refer people to. When they ask us a question, Amanda, we can just send them the video. Watch here. It's a 3-minute explanation. Sometimes we have visuals with that. It's a good reference library moving forward because I find myself, Amanda, doing a lot of repetitive answers, and it's keeping me from moving forward. So we're trying to work smarter with us.
Yeah.
Gotta work. You know, our big staff we have here at the headquarters.
Yes.
Of Amanda. It's just us. So, you know, we're trying to help out as much, but I'm getting behind if I don't work smarter. Anyway. What we got in Savvy Savings?
Today we're going to talk about food scraps and how to recycle and reuse those. Mm. So I stole this from a Washington Post article from last week. It's called "Your Food Scraps Deserve Another Shot. Here's How to Use Peels, Stems, and More in Your Cooking." And we'll do a link to the actual article in the show notes as well.
You as a lawyer should know we use the word acquire. We don't steal.
Yes. We are borrowing and...
Yes. Yeah. We're highlighting sharing. This. Yes.
We're sharing. We're further sharing for a larger audience.
Yes.
So anyway, I did want to give some attribution there. So, you know, it's not a total plagiarism here.
Yes.
So pickle juice, bean water, kale stems, watermelon seeds, orange peels. I bet those are a lot of things you have around your house that, you know, are just going right into the rubbish bin, right? But these cast-offs can be secret ingredients that will add flair, texture, and substance to your meals.
Hmm.
And will also stretch your budget and reduce food waste and its environmental consequences. You know how I am about the environment.
Yes.
Yes. And at all at the same time while cutting grocery trips amid a global pandemic.
Sounds good.
All right. So let's talk about leafy bits first. So these are things like carrot greens, radish greens, beet greens. I don't know who's eating beets. I hate beets.
Beets.
Have you ever bought a raw beet?
No, I don't even know what to do with a beet.
Yeah, I don't either. But
what is a beet?
If someone wants, I've only seen them like pickled on buffets. Okay.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Maybe someone can write into us and give us a beet recipe.
A beet recipe.
Anyway, the leaves tucked into your bunch of celery, that's another thing. Yeah, I always toss that.
Yeah.
But if they're fresh and crisp, you can drop any of these into salad. They're all edible. If they're wilting, you can use them for stir fry. If they're a bit tough, you can dice and saute them. Or here's the one I really like, spin it into a pesto. Mm. But don't use greens atop carrots, turnips, and the like quickly. But do use them quickly. They fade fast and the root vegetables last longer without their leafy tops.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so cut those tops off as soon as you get them home so that your vegetable itself will last longer.
Mm. I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
This next one I really like, pickle juice. Pickle juice you can mix with some herbs and oils, and voila, you have salad dressing. You can also class up your vodka and vermouth for a martini, or use it with tequila bitters, simple syrup, and lime juice for a margarita. I have not tried this, but you know.
Yeah.
Who's to say? I even saw an article this week that if you stick a pickle spear in a really cheap light beer, it improves the taste. I guess I can't make it worse, right?
Light beer.
Yeah. So here's the other thing. You can also, some people chug pickle juice after a workout. Some athletes just swear by it for the hydrating, cramp fighting power of pickle juice. Yeah.
Is that true?
It's true.
Because I had cramps last night. I couldn't sleep. If I could have just, I had pickle juice sitting right in the fridge. I could have chugged that sucker.
And my sister keeps a jar of pickle juice for migraines. It's great for migraines. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. My son hates pickles, so there's no way we would have anyone in our house chugging pickle juice. Mm. All right. So how about seeds? Everyone sees seeds. You've probably roasted pumpkin seeds.
Oh, I've done that. Yep.
Yeah, who hasn't? Especially when you're carving pumpkins. Consider roasting the slippery kernels from melons and winter squash cousins as well. There's also Food 52 says you can also soak watermelon seeds in salty water and then put them in a 320 degree oven for 20 minutes. So I've never tried roasted watermelon seeds. That seems interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, do your homework, though, for potentially dangerous chemicals. A couple of apple seeds, for example, are unlikely to harm you, but they do contain small amounts of a compound that could become cyanide once ingested.
Well, that would suck.
That would suck.
I've survived earthquakes and fires and all that, and that my demise is from an apple seed. That would suck.
That would suck. All right, so how about some other food scraps? So you know how it's hard to get all the fruity flesh off of those pitted fruits like mangoes and other stone fruits?
Oh, yeah.
You can stash them in the freezer with other food scraps like pineapple cores, strawberry tops, lime husks, all the things that normally you just toss because, you know, you don't eat them. And then once you have like a gallon-sized bag in your freezer, dump them in a pot with some water. You boil, simmer, and add sugar, and you can choose your own adventure. If it's lots of fruity pulp, you can, you know, obviously loosen it from whatever it's still stuck to. Then you can add more heat and a dash of cornstarch, and then you're on your way to jam. If it's a thinner fruit stew, you can strain out the solids and use it as a syrup on pancakes, cocktails, or ice cream. And if you mix it with a seltzer for a fancy waste-fighting soda, it sounds like everyone needs these waste fighters right now with the 17 extra pounds.
17 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, and then a splash of your favorite booze makes for a better adult experience.
Adult experience?
Yeah.
I don't drink. Okay. Oh, that adult experience. Gotcha.
All right, how about stems? You can accumulate edible stems like from kale, mint, cilantro, chard in the freezer and later pulverize them with roasted nuts, aged Italian cheese, and olive for pesto. Oh, I love pesto. Mm. If there's a pesto sandwich on a menu, that's usually what I order. I love pesto. Yeah. You can also blend stems with herbs, beans, and oil. Maybe even oil salvage from a can of smoky sardines if you eat sardines. I have a nephew who loves sardines.
I've never had one. Never. Yep.
And that makes a good dip or a sauce or spread. Even the hard hearts and stalks of cauliflower can be boiled and then blended into whatever inspires you. So the internet offers several variations on charred stalks, hummus, which, you know, you skip the chickpeas and use tahini, lemon juice, garlic, and olive oil for a fluffy dip. And then don't forget about those broccoli stalks. Oh, you know, I won't even buy frozen broccoli with the they sell like the ones with stems in them. I hate that. I only get the florets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't like the stems. Hmm. But once you peel off the fibrous exteriors, apparently the inside of the stalk is still tender and delicious. Hmm. I'm anti-stem. Let's see, what else? Bean water. This one's fun. Aquafaba. It's essentially the liquid left over from draining a can of chickpeas, and it's kind of magical.
Magical?
Yeah, it whips up like egg whites, making vegan mousse, meringue, and mayonnaise with your hand mixer.
No, really?
Apparently, yeah.
That's crazy.
And the water from canned chickpeas is more consistent than what you might drain off of garbanzos. And then when baking, about 3 tablespoons of the stuff is equivalent to a whole egg. Crazy, huh? So you can make hummus and then later make cookies.
All right, I got to try this weekend.
Okay. Vegetable, and then finally, vegetable peels and scraps. So do you even need to peel it? That's the first question you should be asking. Carrots and potatoes can just get scrubbed and you can leave the peel on, including beets, even after roasting. There's those beets again. I'm going to have to figure out how to eat a beet, I guess.
What's with the beets?
I don't know. This lady must like beets. If you want to take it off, then what about or consider roasting potato peels? You know, then you can have like a TGI Fridays type potato skin with cheese and chives. You could use a twist of cucumber peel in your beverage. If you can't use scraps immediately, you can also stow them in the freezer, like pepper centers, corn cobs, onion trim, and you know, the like in your freezer until you have a full bag. And then you dump your iced veggie into a pot, cover with water, boil and simmer at least 30 minutes, and then you'll have broth, like a vegetable broth. And then, you can, different types of vegetables will give you different flavors in those broths. So mix and match.
Okay.
Would you be trying any of these tips here, Craig?
I'm trying to think which one. Okay,
well, you're going to try the bean water, right?
But yeah, I'll try that. I do have a watermelon, but I only buy seedless, so that's not going to work.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Why would anyone buy a water? Well, why would you buy a watermelon with seeds? I don't understand the point. If technology gives me a watermelon without seeds, why would I buy one with a seed?
I can get over that one, but the one that I don't understand is grapes with seeds.
Yeah. What's like, the point?
Come on, people. We don't need seeds in our grapes.
Why are you making it complicated? It's 2020. Use the technology. If they can make you a grape without a seed, eat it.
Yep.
All right. That's great, Amanda. Thank you very much. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.